record. The first thing I need to do is give you this statement telling you what I'm doing. It's another formality, but the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut. Have you signed the participant identification and release agreement?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now you can start. Maybe first just tell me who you are, where you're from.
Okay. Sort of Michael Duchin, from Nashville, Tennessee. Grew up in Nashville, moved away, came back. Any specific questions you'd like to ask me? Or?
I'm just curious. Okay. Here is just like, yeah, if you have some stories you want to tell, please share them. And I'm curious, too, why are you involved?
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things that things happen to you in life where you feel like you're meant to be there and it's divine providence. And I grew up, my grandparents, I would see wormy chestnut in different places. Thought it was a very interesting wood. And when I was 10, my grandparents moved into a house which had a study out of wormy chestnut, some furniture, and then it was panel in wormy chestnut. I thought it was very beautiful. It was the part of their house, it was a very nice house, and part that I liked best, and where I would remember my grandparents sitting a lot. They had a little TV in there. And so when I went to college in New England, there was a lot of woods around. There was a research area, and I would see wormy chestnut stumps. So this is in northwestern Massachusetts. And then I knew about it, and when I graduated, moved to Washington, D.C., had a course in, went to the Agriculture Department, had a course in the Eastern Forest of the United States, read Lucy Brown's book, and saw again more stumps, but then I saw some living trees, some large living trees, didn't know why, they hadn't gotten the blight. One of them I remember they thought was sterile, and that disturbed me very much. Didn't know anything about any efforts to do that, and this is before the American Chestnut Foundation started up. When I moved to Nashville, there was a place where we belonged, and I saw a brochure and joined, I remember it was late 80s, joined, as I recall correctly, the American Chestnut Foundation. Didn't really participate, would get their literature and read up on it. Someone I knew was, I talked to, and actually was an insurance agent on the area where I was working and was doing some work for us, and he knew of my interest, and he said, well, you ought to contact Scott Schlarbaum, you know, he's UT, and I did. And Scott was interested in starting up a chapter, not necessarily with TACF, but a local organization. And but I'd ask him for some varieties. He gave me places to order some chestnut American grafts, and so we had chestnuts. These trees came up, and they were basically Chinese chestnuts, sweetheart tree, which is supposed to be some American. And we'd bring them home. My kids were very young at that age, and they would see them, and they'd see the burrs. When the oldest reached 10, he would roam down in the forest. We had a forest behind us. Now, Nashville is a limestone basin, and so we live in Davidson County. However, we live on a ridge, and I'd often wondered. I saw a tree in the back, a stump in the back of the yard, and I'm thinking, that's old and it hasn't rotted. You know, I wonder if that's American chestnut. It was right by the house, and there were some other signs. I thought, you know, I'm wondering if they're, I said, but, you know, it's acidic up here, it's basic, it's alkaline down below, but who would think we had American chestnut? That would, you know, be beyond it. So one day he came up from the woods, there's a whole patch of woods behind our house and other woods with these burrs, and I said, he said, you know, we have American chestnut, just based on the burrs that he'd seen at home, that I brought home, and I said, well, you know, Jonathan, I really don't think so, but we'll go down and check it out. It's probably Chinese or some hybrid. I got down there, and I'm at that time it was 40 feet tall, but it was about 5.5 inches deviation. I was able to get the lower branches, and I took one into, there was a herbarium at Vanderbilt, which has since gone out to Texas. But I took it down there, and I said, sure does look like American chestnut to me. And he said, it is, and I'm really disappointed. And I'm looking at him. He said, no, I've had, someone else had a chestnut at one point in Davidson County. I was hoping for a chinkapin and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, I contacted Scott, and I said, you know, I can't see if this tree has the blight on it. And he said, well, you know, Mike, it's probably going to get the blight. You know, it's about the time. I said, no, no, this tree is 40 feet long, it's got some blue sky, and it's shooting for this, you know, shooting for this light, you know. And obviously it has some burrs on it, so it's flowering. And anyway, so nothing much happened. We continued to observe the tree go down there, and I didn't see any blight. Well, when the Tennessee chapter opened up, this is in 2002, we had a, actually it started in 2001, but the initial officers, at least the president, weren't that active, but they did have one meeting, and we weren't even a 501c yet, but so we started talking about, they want to identify mother trees, and I said, well, I have a tree, and there was Paul Sisko there, and he said, well, just send me a branch, a leaf. I said, well, Paul, I can't reach the leaves anymore. He's looking at me like, yeah, right, you know, and I said, no, I seriously, and it's been identified as American chestnut, I can't reach the leaves, the branch is too high. I mean, a few years ago I could reach it, but, you know, that branch has died out, and I don't even have anything that I can reach up there to get it. And he said, well, I just can't do anything about that. And I said, well, you know, you're 5 minutes, I know you're going back to Asheville, you told me where you live, and you're 5 minutes from, just, I'll get you back on the road in 5 minutes. As we walk down there, you know, in a fairly short, it's pretty steep, but you can walk down there in a fairly short period of time. He said, nah, you know, if you can't send me a branch. So we were getting ready to leave, and you know, I mean, it's getting late, and he says, where do you live, you know? And so he came over, and he said, he looked at the tree, and we didn't have many mother trees at that point. He looks at the tree, he says, my God. He said, it really is an American chestnut. And so I said, I said, yeah, I told you that. And he said, I'm really sorry. I've walked 2 miles from maple before, you know. So we identified it, and we got, there were some people that came over, and you probably met Clint, and you met Joe Shibik, and so they were over looking at the trees, and they got some samples off of it, and we were doing some grafting at that point, but basically, that tree is, and we've had tree climbers up there. First was a mother tree, and now we got pollen off of it in 2007, so it's got a lot of seeds out there now, so it's really in the system. It wasn't very successful as a mother tree because it wasn't flowering much, and they kept telling me to open it up, take some trees off, and trees around there, but realistically, it was doing well. I didn't want to do anything that might stress it, might get the blight. So after that point, this was, of course, about 10 years later, and at this point, I had a son, I have three children, and my youngest was home, and so he was out there with me, and he had gone to this meeting in 2002. Well, he went down in the forest and found, you know, six other chestnut trees. One was small and had the blight, and it died. But the other ones were of varying sizes, and 15, 18 feet. And then we had one that was has the bark is furring and is obviously quite mature, but it's not flowering because, and it's not that tall because it's dark in the above it. And of course, people told me take the trees out; it'll flower. And that's something Hill has said. And I said, well, there's a reason why these trees don't have the blight, and I'm not going to stress them. And since then, I've talked to quite a number of people who've told me the same thing. They have these theories that when the trees start growing rapidly, you open them up, they stress themselves out and have the blight. And these trees are doing well. And so, I mean, there are two major trees here and a number of other smaller trees that look quite healthy. And we've had droughts on the ridge in the last 2 years, but they seem to be holding on. So I haven't been down to see the bigger one recently. But so that's kind of the divine providence that brought me into the organization. I became involved with it. Tennessee chapter and getting the 501c, it was really took over it at that point, and on the board and the cabinets. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any questions.
That was great. I'm really just curious today. Like, yeah, what kind of story do you have on top of your head, and why are you involved?
Okay.
That's great.
Good.
Thank you for coming in and sharing that.